Welcome to your GCSE Biology Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most fascinating and exam-rich topics in the whole specification, Topic B4, Community-Level Systems. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, stick with me for the next 10 minutes, and I promise you'll walk away feeling genuinely confident about this topic. So, what is this topic actually about? At its heart, B4 is about how living things interact with each other and with their environment, and how materials like carbon and water cycle through ecosystems. It sounds big, but once you see the patterns, it all clicks together beautifully. Let's start with the big picture. An ecosystem is made up of a community. That's all the living organisms in an area, plus the non-living environment around them. Examiners love testing whether you know the difference between biotic and abiotic factors. Biotic factors are the living ones: predation, competition, disease, and mutualism. Abiotic factors are the non-living ones: temperature, light intensity, pH, water availability, and mineral ion concentration. A classic exam question will give you data showing how a population changes and ask you to explain it in terms of biotic or abiotic factors. Always use both terms in your answer. Examiners credit the correct use of this vocabulary. Now let's talk about feeding relationships. You need to be rock solid on food chains and food webs. The arrows in a food web show the direction of biomass transfer from prey to predator. This is a really common mistake. Candidates draw arrows pointing the wrong way, or describe them as showing what eats what rather than where the biomass goes. The arrow always points from the organism being eaten to the organism doing the eating. So grass arrow to rabbit, arrow to fox. That means biomass flows from grass to rabbit to fox. Producers are always at the start of a food chain. They're organisms, usually plants or algae, that make their own food through photosynthesis. Consumers eat other organisms. Primary consumers eat producers. Secondary consumers eat primary consumers. And so on up the food chain. Now here's where it gets really interesting for exam purposes. Pyramids of biomass. A pyramid of biomass shows the mass of living material at each trophic level. It's almost always pyramid-shaped, widest at the bottom with producers, narrowing as you go up. Why? Because biomass is lost at every stage. And this is key 6-mark question territory. Why is biomass lost between trophic levels? There are 3 main reasons. First, respiration. Organisms use energy from food to fuel their metabolic processes. Movement, growth, keeping warm. This energy is released as heat and is lost from the food chain. Second, digestion. Not all of the food an organism eats can be digested. The undigested material is removed as feces. This is egestion, not excretion. And that distinction matters. Third, excretion. Waste products from metabolic reactions like urea and urine are removed from the body and are no longer available as biomass for the next trophic level. So when you're asked to explain why a pyramid of biomass gets narrower at each level, your answer needs to include all 3: respiration, agestion, and excretion. A memory hook I love for this is the acronym REE: respiration, agestion, excretion. REE, as in remember these 3. Now let's talk about calculating biomass transfer efficiency. This is a mathematical skill that comes up regularly. The formula is efficiency equals biomass transferred to the next level divided by biomass at the current level multiplied by 100. So if producers have 10,000 kg of biomass and primary consumers have 1,000 kg, the efficiency is 1,000 divided by 10,000 times 100, which equals 10%. In most ecosystems, the efficiency of biomass transfer is around 10%. That means 90% is lost at each stage, which is why food chains rarely have more than 4 or 5 trophic levels. There simply isn't enough biomass left to support another level. Next up, decomposers. These are microorganisms, mainly bacteria and fungi, that break down dead organic matter. They're absolutely critical to nutrient cycling. Without decomposers, dead material would pile up and the nutrients locked inside would never be released back into the soil for plants to use. Decomposers secrete enzymes onto dead material, breaking it down into simpler molecules that are absorbed. This process is called decomposition and it returns carbon, nitrogen, and other minerals to the environment. Conditions that affect decomposition are a favorite exam topic. Decomposers work faster in warm, moist, aerobic conditions, that is, when oxygen is present. This is why compost heaps are turned regularly, to introduce oxygen and speed up decomposition. In cold, dry, or anaerobic conditions, decomposition slows dramatically. This is why mammoths preserved in permafrost are found intact thousands of years later. The cold, oxygen-free conditions prevented decomposition. Now let's cover the carbon cycle. Carbon is constantly moving between the atmosphere, living organisms, soil, and fossil fuels. Here are the key processes you must know. Photosynthesis removes carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and fixes it into organic molecules in plants. Respiration by plants, animals, and decomposers releases carbon dioxide back into the atmosphere. Feeding transfers carbon from one organism to another along the food chain. Decomposition by microorganisms releases carbon from dead organic matter back into the atmosphere or soil. And combustion, burning fossil fuels or wood, releases carbon dioxide that was locked away for millions of years. A common exam question asks you to trace the path of a carbon atom from the atmosphere into a plant, then into an animal, then back to the atmosphere. Practice writing this out step by step. Carbon dioxide absorbed by plant during photosynthesis, incorporated into glucose and then into plant tissues, plant eaten by herbivore, carbon now in herbivore's body, herbivore respires and releases carbon dioxide back to atmosphere. Simple, logical, and worth several marks. The water cycle is also examinable. Water evaporates from oceans and land, rises as water vapor, condenses to form clouds, and falls as precipitation, rain, or snow. Plants absorb water from the soil through their roots, use it in photosynthesis, and release it back to the atmosphere through transpiration. Animals drink water and lose it through excretion and respiration. The key processes to name are evaporation, condensation, precipitation, transpiration, and absorption. Let's now talk about species interactions. Examiners test three types of interdependence. Predation is where one organism, the predator, kills and eats another, the prey. Predator and prey populations are linked in cycles. When prey increases, predators have more food, and their numbers rise. Then, increased predation reduces prey numbers. Then, predator numbers fall due to less food. This oscillating cycle is a classic graph question. Mutualism is where both species benefit. The classic example is nitrogen-fixing bacteria in the root nodules of legumes. The bacteria get a safe habitat and sugars from the plant. The plant gets nitrogen compounds it can use. Parasitism is where one organism, the parasite, benefits at the expense of the host. Fleas on a dog or tapeworms in a human gut are classic examples. Now for exam tips and common mistakes. The number one mistake I see is candidates confusing egestion and excretion. Egestion is the removal of undigested food as feces. The food never actually entered the body's cells. Excretion is the removal of metabolic waste products, substances produced by chemical reactions inside cells like urea or carbon dioxide. If you're asked why biomass is lost, you need both terms. The second big mistake is drawing food web arrows the wrong way. Always double check. The arrow points in the direction biomass flows from eaten to eater. Third mistake. When asked about the effect of removing a species from a food web, candidates often only consider the immediate effect. Examiners want you to think through the chain of consequences. If foxes are removed, rabbit populations increase, leading to overgrazing of grass, which then reduces grass biomass. Show that chain of reasoning. For 6-mark questions on this topic, structure your answer using the point evidence explain approach. State the point, give the biological evidence, and explain the mechanism. Use connective words like because, therefore, and as a result to link your ideas. Now for a quick-fire recall quiz. Cover your notes and see how many you can answer. Ready? 1. What are the three reasons biomass is lost between trophic levels? 2. What is the formula for calculating biomass transfer efficiency? 3. Name 2 abiotic factors that affect a community. 4. What is the difference between egestion and excretion? 5. Name the 2 types of microorganism that act as decomposers. 6. What process do plants use to remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere? 7. In a predator-prey relationship, what happens to predator numbers when prey numbers fall? How did you do? The answers are 1. Respiration, agestion, excretion. 2. Biomass transfer divided by biomass at current level times 100. 3. Any two from temperature, light intensity, pH, water availability, mineral ion concentration. 4. Agestion is removal of undigested food as feces. Excretion is removal of metabolic waste from cells. 5. Bacteria and fungi. 6. Photosynthesis. 7. Predator numbers also fall due to reduced food availability. To wrap up, here are the 5 things you absolutely must know for your exam. First, arrows in food webs show the direction of biomass transfer, not predation. Second, biomass is lost between trophic levels due to respiration, agestion, and excretion. Remember, REE. Third, biomass transfer efficiency is typically around 10%. Fourth, decomposers are bacteria and fungi. They break down dead organic matter and return nutrients to the environment. Fifth, the carbon cycle involves photosynthesis, removing carbon dioxide and respiration, decomposition and combustion, returning it. You've got this. Keep practicing those calculations, practice tracing carbon atoms through the cycle, and make sure you can explain the consequences of removing species from food webs. Good luck in your exam. I'm rooting for you.